afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with me, Charlotte Reed. On today's show, we chat to Les Green about his company, The Deeping Fudge. We take a look at last week's Continental Market, and of course, there are some recipes for you to try out. But first, earlier this week, I chatted to Les Green, who is owner of Deeping Fudge, a homemade fudge company based in Lincolnshire. And I started off by asking him why he started making fudge.
Started as a hobby, really. We wanted a bit of sort of something different to do and go out and sort of shows, fairs and that at the weekends. And decided on, we looked at things like chocolates and various other things and hit on the idea of doing fudge. So, and that's how it started.
So why did fudge appeal to you more than chocolate or other types of sweets?
It's a bit more stable, so you don't have to worry so much about refrigeration, especially during the hot weather, although that is important. Also, I enjoy eating it, really. It's the main reason.
That's not a bad reason.
Yes.
So what year did you start, sorry?
About 10 years ago.
And so how has the business grown and expanded since you first started?
In some ways, it hasn't really grown to anymore. I mean, we do... it's still myself and my wife, basically, who do it. We just go out to shows, farmers markets, and sort of meet people. We do a little bit more wholesale now to one or two customers, and a lot more on the internet, which I suppose has changed it more than anything else.
So what's it like dealing with wholesalers and dealing with people who are sort of wanting to buy off the internet and things like that?
It's a bit more unusual because you're not sort of face-to-face with a customer. It's when you're talking initially, you know, on the stall or something, you can actually sort of say, you know, here, have a taste of it and pick and choose and that. It's a little bit difficult to do that on the internet. But, you know, it does work, and people quite often come back to us after seeing us at a show or a farmer's market, and they've already tried the food, so they know what they're going to be getting.
What's it like doing the shows throughout the year? How many do you do?
Well, we're at most weekends at a show or a farmer's market. So, you know, it's sort of all the way through the year. The only time we really don't bother too much is in January, and that's usually because people have sort of stuffed with sweets and that from Christmas, so we sort of tend to take things a bit easier in January, and then start up again sort of Valentine's Day and go on from there.
And is it fun doing the whole sort of, like you were saying earlier, with just sort of going up to people and going, try this fudge, try these things that you might not have tried before?
Oh, it's great, yeah. I mean, you get some really nice reactions from people, especially when you try and do things a little bit differently. When you do things like the dairy-free fudge or something like that, then the reaction on people who think, you know, there's something they can't have, all of a sudden they find out they can, and it's really nice, a really nice feeling, you know. So.
Yeah, so why did you start doing things like dairy-free, which is also then sort of vegan? Fudge.
Well, because there's a demand for it. There seems to be, you know, a lot more people either are dairy intolerant or choose to not to have a dairy intake. So, you know, the people are looking for things like that, especially, and also things like gluten-free. And we try and point out to people the fudges that have gluten in, usually where an ingredient we've added to it will have gluten in it. And then people who are gluten or celiacs or they can sort of pick and choose, and they're pleased to find that they can get something, you know, that is suitable for them.
And was it ever particularly hard to figure out how to make a dairy-free version? Is there anything that's sort of slightly different in a dairy-free fudge recipe that is dramatically different or anything like that?
No, it's more fun than anything else, because usually what you do is you get an idea and you try it out, then you get to sample it, then you give it to somebody else to have a taste and see what they think, which is usually the neighbours. Take their feedback and you go back and redo some more and go back and taste it again, and then you'll probably take it out on a show and taste it and get the feedback, and then, you know, you'll develop it and put it into the production from there. So it's quite a fun thing to do, really, rather than just sort of thinking, oh, I'll do that. We sort of try and get feedback as we go along with it.
And we'll come back to Les later in the show to talk to him more, including about how he made some of his award-winning fudge.
Chili and chocolate was quite interesting because we were on a market and the guy next to me was selling a chili sauce, and we were talking about chili and chocolate and the Aztecs, which is where the whole idea came from in South America and that. And so we decided that we'd have a go, and we sort of cut some slices of chocolate fudge up, put some chili sauce on it and started eating it, and then we were passing samples out to customers, and ever since then, we've been doing it, and it got us a silver medal in the Great Taste Awards in 2006.
But before then, let's have today's first recipe straight from the kitchen.
To make this type of risotto, you'll need an onion, bacon, rice, chicken stock, lemon juice and peas. Now start by dicing the onion, which you'll then put into a frying pan and start cooking them on a low heat. Whilst that's going on, chop up the bacon. And then when the onions have started to go a little bit soft, add the bacon to the frying pan too. Then allow the bacon and the onion to completely cook before moving on to the next part of the recipe. Next, make up some chicken stock. And for this, I just use a normal stock cube. Once you've made the stock, add it to the frying pan and then add the rice too. Then leave this to allow the rice to cook, which should be about 10 minutes. But check it every now and again to make sure that no rice has got stuck to the frying pan. Before this recipe is finished, add a few drops of lemon juice and a few small handfuls of peas. Then the risotto will be finished when the peas have finished cooking.
It's a nice simple recipe to try out, and you can find out more details about that risotto recipe over on sirenonline.co.uk. Now, last weekend saw the Continental Market visit Lincoln. The market, which saw stalls from all over the world visit the city, was organised by Lincoln Big. And I spoke to the event's organiser, Michael Armstrong, to find out a bit more about the market.
It's a whole range of goods from across Europe. And there's somewhere in the region of about 40 stalls. So it really has quite a mix of stalls here.
And so what's yours and Lincoln Big's involvement in the Continental Market?
Our involvement at Lincoln Big is that we've brought the market to the city centre here. This is part of our events programme to bring a bit of buzz and vitality to the city centre. It's important that we bring other attractions so that people can come down here and see these new attractions, but also come and spend time in our city.
And so what do you have to do to plan for the Continental Market? How far in advance and things like that?
Quite a lot of it in advance, to be perfectly fair. We've had various other different markets that we've had here. We had a Moroccan market fairly recently, so this is a different market altogether. It's a a continental market. Planning, we need to get all sorts of things like all the licenses sorted out, all the environmental health licenses sorted. So it's quite a long process, but it takes somewhere in the region of 2 to 3 months planning until we get to this actual state. And hopefully the end product is what the people of Lincoln will like.
And how do you get the stalls on board? How do they know about this? And how do you sort of select or choose which ones would be best for Lincoln?
All right. Well, how we do that is we work with a market operator. For this one here, it's Marketplace Europe. And we liaise with them about the actual stalls that are actually coming. So then we sort of look at the list and we try and give a broad mix of stalls for Lincoln.
And you mentioned the Moroccan market a moment ago. Lincoln has sort of quite a lot of markets that mm-hmm. come each year. So why do you think Lincoln has this sort of quite strong line of markets?
It's what the customers want. We started out with, I suppose we started out with the Continental Markets, and then we got the we got feedback from people that they all love the market. So I always wanted to do something different. So last time we had this Moroccan market, and that was a tremendous benefit to the city. Everyone totally enjoyed it. In actual fact, we were meant to be having the Princess of Morocco coming to open the last one. Unfortunately, she couldn't come at the last minute. But as part of that, she has funded the fireworks that are going to be part of the demonstration for the Olympic torch relay. So it's a fantastic gift to the city. They see that they want to get involved with Lincoln and to develop the relationships between us and Morocco.
What do these markets, especially the Continental Market, bring to Lincoln other than just a variety of different stalls?
I think it just brings another added dimension to the city. you know, buzz and brightness and vitality to the city centre. Often when I walk by and just see the square being empty, I think, oh, we're missing a trick here. And here's a chance that people just walk around the corner. It's almost like see the expression on their faces, wow, here's something different. And some of the smells as you go down the high street there with all the different markets, it's lovely. And people just, the people of Lincoln particularly enjoy these markets.
What's your favourite stall?
My favourite stall, I suppose it's got to be the olive stall, filly and cheese stalls, all that sort of thing. And anything that gives a lovely sort of really tangy smell, I thoroughly enjoy that. So yeah, I just like as you can down the different aromas that you get as you're walking down the high street. I think that's what makes a difference.
That was Michael Armstrong speaking to me early in the week. And if you missed the market or simply want to revisit it, then hear what I got to up at the market.
I'm starting in the Cornhill and I'm just walking past the hog roast stand, and it smells particularly like Christmas. There's also Russian dolls, and you can see all the little Russian dolls as they come outside of one another, and the little ones in particular keep falling over in the wind, which is quite sweet. Walking past an Italian one, that's kind of a stereotypical Italian thing, like salami, quite strong cheeses. Now there's a sort of strange conflict of smells. There's the French cheese mix, which you can imagine smells very strongly of cheese. And then there's a gourmet coffee place, which smells particularly quite like vanilla. And that's really, really lovely. It's quite tempting, even though I'm not a big fan of coffee. As we're coming up to Nationwide, there are these lovely tarts, and there's also these amazingly intricate Italian biscuits. Just towards the end, there is a crepe stall.
And if you think I'm just being a tease about something that's already happened, then don't worry, because the Continental Market should be visiting Lincoln again in October. Earlier in the show, I spoke to Les Green from Deeping Fudge about how he started his fudge business. And now we join him again as he explains what a normal day is like for him.
There isn't really a normal day, to be honest. It's totally dependent on what I've got at the weekend. We try and make everything we require the week prior to the weekend that we're going to use it. Our aim is to sort of not produce too much, but to sell out. And so we're not carrying old stock, you know, forward. People get it as fresh as possible and as tasty as possible.
And so how do you make fudge? Is it kind of like in your kitchen, or do you have a big operation somewhere or something like that?
No, I've got a unit in my porter cabin in my back garden. It's a nice, enjoyable, pleasurable travel to work. It's basically, it's a large, it looks a bit like a large tea urn, but it's got a heated water jacket and a mixing paddle in it. And we make all our own recipes up and go from there.
How do you come up with some more of your creative recipes, like your chili and chocolate ones?
Some of them, the chili and chocolate was quite interesting because we on a market and the guy next to me was selling a chili sauce. And we were talking about chili and chocolate and the Aztecs, which is where the whole idea came from in South America and that. And so we decided that we'd have a go, and we sort of cut some slices of chocolate fudge up, put some chili sauce on it and started eating it, and then we were passing samples out to customers, and ever since then we've been doing it, and it got us a silver medal in the Great Taste Awards in 2006. So that was very pleasant.
And so what's it like entering your fudge recipes in for an award and then them winning?
Oh, winning is absolutely fantastic. But, I mean, some of them, the awards are a bit unusual because they send your recipe and assess your recipe. Others, they actually assess your product. I haven't done too much of that recently, but, I mean, it is good, and the feeling when you win is absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
You said that you got into making fudge because you like fudge.
Yeah.
Do you actually have to sort of stop yourself from nicking some of your samples when, you know, you really should be selling it or things like that?
Well, there's no better advertising than eating your own product for a start. People see you're enjoying it, which is one thing. But, I mean, it's probably more than most. But then, you know, I like to make sure that the product's in good condition and it's right. And that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Do you ever find yourself, when you're trying other types of fudge or shop-bought fudge, that you're sort of comparing it and going, well, this is what it's done wrong, or this is how it could be better?
like to say better or wrong. Different is the word I would use. You know, every product has its own assets and own attributes. Occasionally I come across ones that I sort of think, wow, that's different. I wonder how they're doing that. But generally speaking, you know, there are so many different types and varieties that and all different recipes that people use. You know, people have developed their own recipes or they've handed down recipes. That, you know, there's just so much to choose from. The variety is there, which just means, you know, to get it to the customer, really.
And you also, I was reading on your website that you particularly like to locally source all your ingredients.
Yeah, as many as possible, yeah.
And why do you think that's an important thing to do?
A, it's, you can credit where all your product's coming from, or as much as possible. So, you know, like the sugar I know comes from British Sugar, so it's predominantly from sugar beet. We're in the biggest sugar beet producing area in the country. My fruits and that I use, if they don't come out of my garden, comes out of a neighbour's garden.
So how do you see the future of your fudge business going? Is it the same thing, or is there any big idea that you have?
But my big idea at the moment is I'm thinking about having a shop, but I think this would be a long way off. But no, I mean, most of the things that we're developing at the moment, we're doing things like wedding favours, again, new lines, new product lines, new flavours, things like salty caramel and things like this, salty chocolates, and just sort of ideas as they come along. We try and put them into production. Scottish Tablets, one we've been doing quite well with recently. So, you know, it's just a case of getting the thing made and getting it out there and for people to try.
And if you'd like to try any of Les's fudge, then this weekend he'll be in Market Deeping and next weekend he'll be at the Rugby Show on Saturday. You can also find out more about Deeping fudge and listen to the interview in full over on the Siren website. And now for today's final recipe, we head back to the kitchen once more.
Now, if you've ever tried to make cookies before, you might have found that the recipe was a bit tough to follow to make cookies, and what you actually ended up making was biscuits. However, this is a recipe to make some really nice soft cookies. For this, you will need sugar, butter, an egg, self-raising flour, cocoa powder, and a packet of chocolate chips. So start off by creaming together the sugar and the butter. To find out the exact measurements that you will need, then head over to the Siren website, which is sirenline.co.uk. Next, add one egg and mix this into the butter and the sugar until it's all mixed in and it looks kind of fluffy. Then add to this flour. Stir it in well and make sure you stir it until all the lumps have gone. Then add 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder and again mix this until you have no lumps left in the mixture. The final thing to do to this cookie dough is to add a packet of chocolate chips. Pour them into the bowl of dough and stir them in. Then to bake the cookies, get a baking tray, and each cookie is just a large spoonful of mixture placed on the baking tray. So place as many spoonfuls as will fit onto the tray. Space the cookies out well so that you don't end up with one huge baking tray sized cookie. And then leave them cooking in the oven for about 20 minutes. And once they're out of the oven, allow them to cool for about 10 minutes before you start eating them.
And that's all I have for today's show. Just one quick piece of news. Wednesday the 20th and Thursday the 21st of June is the Lincolnshire Show, where there will be a number of food stalls as well as demonstrations from the Lincolnshire chef Rachel Green. So next week, Food for Thought will hopefully be a Lincolnshire Show special. If you'd like to get in touch or show off the dishes that you've made this week, then head over to sirenline.co.uk to find out how to contact me. But until then, thank you for listening to Food for Thought.